Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Inside Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Soucy. Tonight, we'll continue our look at National League Baseball teams. Tonight, the Chicago Cubs in focus. We'll take a look at their expected lineup for the upcoming 2016 season, take a look at the pitching staff, and break down a little bit of how their prospects fit in, and maybe take a little bit of a look at how we expect this team to fare this season. We'll start, as we do always, with the offensive breakdown. And this is a team that has infused a lot of young talent over the last couple of seasons, and now have kind of supplemented that with some veteran free agents that they acquired in the offseason, spent quite a bit of money in doing that, but now this looks like a much more complete lineup, a team that, once again, we've talked about this before, a lot of organizations have been going through heavy rebuilds, and this is just another one of those. So now the Cubs have seemed to come almost full circle now, and interestingly enough, Fangraphs came out with its rankings of expected win totals based on the rosters that the teams are currently constructing, and the Cubs finished out with the highest win total in baseball, expected win total in baseball based on their current roster construction. And when you take a real good look at this team, it's easy to see why you might believe that, as hard as that is for a White Sox fan to admit. But basically the core of this lineup is made up of prospects that just as recently as last year were mostly rookies. Last year's rookie rankings had four of the organization's five top prospects now factoring in as starting members of the Cubs lineup. So that will explain why this team has been able to turn it around so quickly. Their young talent has matured, and now they are ready to be a big part of this. So let's start at the catching position. Miguel Montero, a steady veteran who does a nice job behind the plate for the Cubs, has kind of earned a reputation as being a pretty good pitch framer, and that has helped the staff a little bit. Hasn't been as potent offensively as maybe the Cubs expected him to be, but still a guy who can hit the ball over the fence every once in a while. So that's a good, solid catching. He's in tandem now with David Ross, the veteran catcher, who does a little more than provide a clubhouse presence. Not really sure if the Cubs are expecting much from him, and they better not be, because he probably won't deliver much. So that is the Cubs catching situation. At first base, one of the best all-around players in baseball, Anthony Rizzo, just getting better and better. He's a guy that has been traded twice after being a highly touted prospect in the Boston Red Sox organization. I was traded to San Diego, had a cup of coffee with the Padres, and then did not fare well at all. His star, for some inexplicable reason, kind of fell a little bit, and the Cubs were able to essentially steal him away for Andrew Kashner in a deal made in 2012. He has now become an anchor of the Cubs' offensive lineup and easily one of the best 20 players in baseball. So that is a great foundation point for the Cubs to start at, and at 26, still has room to grow. At second base, this is where the Cubs went into the free agent market and supplemented with a little bit of veteran talent. But all around, kind of a jack-of-all-trades guy, Ben Zobrist looks to be the starting second baseman on opening day. At 35, maybe his best years are behind him, but as he has demonstrated for his entire career, he's the kind of player that will adapt to what you need and not the other way around. So a real good fit for a young Cubs roster that needs players like Ben Zobrist to move into the fact of being one of the elite teams in the game. So I thought that was a really astute signing by the team. Like I said, he can do a lot of things for you. If he ends up, you know, if someone ends up getting hurt on this team, if Keith Cobb ends up getting hurt on this team, Zobrist can play about six different positions if need be. So a great guy to have on your roster, although he has really kind of settled into probably being the second baseman to start the season. The shortstop position will be manned by 22-year-old Addison Russell. It feels like he's been around forever, but in reality, he is just 22 years old and just turned 22. So he's one of those guys that really looks like a great foundation piece for anyone to build around. Has not shown his full potential with the bat yet, but I still think there's a lot more there to be mined with, and just really one of the more gifted defensive shortstops in the game right now. A great all-around player. Absolute theft by the Cubs in their trade with Oakland that got them Addison Russell back in the day. A couple of pitchers, Jason Hamill and Jeff Smarja, and they also got a few other things that some guys in the prospect farm that really had not materialized yet. But just Russell alone for those two guys was absolute thievery because he's one of the best young middle infield prospects in the game, and I think he'll take another step up towards in his development this year. Moving over to third base. The guy a lot of people talked about, you know, all of preseason last year, Chris Bryant. He's one of those guys that I think eventually will be one of the best power hitters in the game, probably a nice all-around player. Still has a little bit of growth that he can perform. I still don't think he's going to hit for a great average. I'm not sure if he'll ever hit for a great average, but he can run. He can hit. Obviously, he hits very well for power, and when he gets into a groove, he's tough to stop. But still strikes out quite a bit and still has some maturing to do. Without doubt, one of the best young players also in the game. I feel like I should have that on a button so I can save myself the words best young players in the game because there just are a whole bunch of them on this roster. And as we head to the outfield, you're looking at left field, and this is where I think one of the more interesting developments in Cubs camp this year is going to be. Can the Cubs deal with the fact that Kyle Schwarber doesn't really have a lot of experience in left field? Is his bat enough to compensate for the fact that he is not exactly a defensive wizard? I know a lot of teams have tried to hide players in left field in the past and maybe trying to do so again with Schwarber here. It will be interesting to see whether or not they will be willing to trade offense for defense. In this situation, defense for offense, because they are not going to get a ton of defense out of Schwarber, but they may get a ton of offense because raw natural power for this guy, yet another young guy that still has some room for growth, but just can really mash. So it will be interesting to see what they choose to do with him. It doesn't seem that the Cubs really are determined to try to keep him behind the plate at the catching position. They are moving him around, more concerned about finding a way to make his bat play. Unfortunately, he seems like a guy that would be destined for eventual DH duty at this rate in his career, but obviously he's in the National League, and that's not a legitimate option. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly he improves. Still young enough to learn the outfield position and become at least adequate at it, but he still has some work to do. So Schwarber, great bat. Glove is a little bit suspect right now. Moving over to center field, one of the biggest costs, free agents of the offseason. Jason Hayward was signed by the Cubs. Hayward's another guy who seems like he's been around for a very long time, but he hasn't even had his 27th birthday yet. All of the advanced metrics indicate that Hayward is one of the top outfielders in the game. Defensive metrics off the charts. Offensively, I still think most people thought there is more in the tank than Hayward has demonstrated. Maybe this is just what he is at this point. He's got quite a bit of major league experience under his belt. It'll be interesting to see moving forward whether or not he can become maybe a little bit more of a power guy. But interestingly enough, this is a team that doesn't really need Hayward to be a power guy, so it might be a pretty good fit for the Hayward version that we're currently dealing with right now. Played right field all of last year. The Cubs appear set on moving him over to center. To maybe take advantage of that range that he has and maybe help out Schwarber a little bit in left field in the process. So that's an interesting take there. And then in right field is the guy who had been bandied about in trade discussions for most of the offseason. It appears at least now that the Cubs are set to go with Jorge Soler in the right field position. I think his potential is enormous. As a anti-Cub fan, I was sort of hoping that they would trade him away before he realized his potential because I think that is immense, and he is a guy that will eventually, it may not even be this year, will eventually take off and evolve into a true all-around just superstar-type player. So that's an interesting thing to watch with him. The Cubs still may feel that they need to trade him out for a starting pitcher because that was what was rumored for most of the last 2 months. It is now not that situation, it appears, but the Cubs still kind of have a need for another starting pitcher, so it will be interesting to see if they hang on to Soler or make another move. One of the guys off the bench, and I don't usually mention guys off the bench too much because I don't expect them to be heavy implements in terms of what most teams do, especially National League teams. One of the guys that I would like to mention, though, is Javier Baez, a 23-year-old guy that is listed as an infield outfielder in most situations because it really looks like the Cubs are going to they don't really have a spot for him in the starting lineup right now, but they may be making him into a super utility guy. And to be honest with you, he may end up in a platoon type of situation in left field with the left-handed hitting power forward. He's a right-handed hitter. So that might be a situation where they might try to rotate, get some at-bats, and maybe move Baez around the field to give guys an occasional day off and keep his bat fresh. Because a lot of natural power, but once again, he's another guy that still has some work to do in terms of getting himself, you know, an all-around game in place, but another guy with enormous potential. So the Cubs just seem to have a whole bunch of these guys that if they all put it together, they could be extremely dangerous. Moving over to the pitching staff now, we have a historic second half last year for Jake Arrieta. No one had pitched better than he had for the string of most of the second half, combined with a very good first half, made him, by most indications, one of, if not the best pitcher in baseball last season, won the NL Cy Young. He is a guy that a lot of people were wondering if it was ever going to click, and when it did, boy, did it. Just a truly, truly talented player that the Baltimore Orioles drafted in the first round quite some time ago, and he could never seem to get it put together. So it was really kind of an impressive evolution for him. Just in terms of as a player last year, proved himself to be one of the best pitchers in the game. The interesting thing to see now is what they always talk about with pitchers like this that make a sudden leap in productivity. The 229 innings that he threw last season greatly surpassed any indication of innings pitched in any year previous. So we will have to see if he can continue to do that. And he can truly be a workhorse guy that you can put on the top of your staff, expect 30 to 35 starts out of, and move forward that way without concerning yourself with injuries. Because he's got a little bit of a track record with that in the past. And once again, the workload increased so severely. The number two spot in the rotation is handled by John Lester, the Cubs' big free agent buy of 2 years ago. He had an interesting season last year. He was okay in the first half last year. A lot of attention was made on some of the more mundane things of the game, like his inability to hold runners and things of that nature. A lot of people don't realize that he was absolutely lights out in the second half last year. He was almost as good as Arrieta, and I don't think he got enough credit for that. I mean, he was definitely a top 10 pitcher in baseball last year after the All-Star break. But it doesn't really bear out that way because of the first half was really not all that good. So he was a very, very good pitcher for the Cubs last year and certainly makes a commanding 1-2 punch with Jake Arrieta at the top. The third starting position will be held by John Lackey, a free agent signing from the St. Louis Cardinals at what I thought was a pretty economical deal. Fair in age, he's 37. He threw 218 innings last year. And he's only a couple years removed from some disastrous showings in a couple of years in Boston, where I recall one day when I was in Fenway Park where he had an earned run average that was riding over 7, and it did not improve in the day that we saw him against the light-hitting San Diego Padres who knocked him all over the yard. Well, he's obviously had a late career renaissance because he's been very good for the Cardinals over the last two seasons, and signed what I would indicate to be, if he can turn out those kinds of performances, a very club-friendly deal for the next two years on him. So he makes for a pretty solid veteran third starter for the Cubs, and this was definitely a void that you noticed when the Cubs were in the playoffs last year. After Arrieta and Lester, it was very questionable what this team was going to do in a postseason series. I think they were mindful of that in the postseason, knowing that they needed at least one more real quality arm to compete in longer series, playoff series. The fourth starting position is going to be manned by kind of an enigma for the Cubs and Jason Hamill, a guy who has been pretty good for the Cubs after they basically reclaimed him off the scrap heap. But for whatever reason, he's been unable to kind of sustain some of those career gains that he's made over the last couple of years. a lot of really short outings in the second half of last year. Some quick hooks were required. Sometimes they seemed maybe they were even quicker than they needed to be, but not a very productive second half for him after a pretty decent first half. So that's one of the reasons why I think the Cubs might still be in the market for a guy like, you know, another veteran guy that might crop up and become available in the late preseason here, just to kind of bolster the back end here. And the number five starting position will be handled by Kyle Hendricks, a guy who has been good at times and has been not so good at times. And he's kind of one of those guys that I think almost fits perfectly in the fifth starter role where the Cubs have him right now. Not a really hard thrower, not going to blow you away, but certainly capable of keeping you in a lot of games out of the five starter position. The Cubs' bullpen is one of those situations as well where I think the sum of its parts is maybe better than the individual guys. Closer Hector Rondon had kind of a rocky run through his first full year as closer of the team. Wasn't particularly good in the first half, but boy, he was lights out in the second half after briefly losing the job and then regaining the confidence of manager Joe Maddon. He was one of those guys that would seemingly get himself into a bunch of trouble and somehow find his way out. And I think that's a credit to his stuff more than anything else. So he has been a really good staple for the back of this bullpen. So it's one of those guys that that I think he, unfortunately for, you know, for the Cubs, is that they may not have as much confidence in him as the numbers say they should. They don't. But the thing about this team is I don't think they have a real natural guy to replace him should he falter. So, you know, you've got a lot of guys in this bullpen that have been given opportunities to close. The one kind of wild card for this team in the bullpen that I think is a guy that if they put him in the closer role, he might actually excel is Justin Brim. Good strikeout stuff on him, but he is not – he's never been given a chance to do something like that, and you never know how a guy's going to respond in that situation when given the reins to a bullpen. So kind of an interesting makeup there of Cubs pitching staff. And now we get to the part of the organization that's kind of one of the more interesting things to look at because, I mean, the Cubs have brought up a number of very talented players in the last couple of years that would lead one to believe most logically that they have to be running out of players that are ready to come up and contribute at the major league level. And for the most part, that's true. That the top prospects in the Cubs organization are skewing a little bit younger, but there are still a few guys down on the farm that may be pretty close to being ready for major league duty. But right now, the number one prospect in the Cubs organization is Gleyber Torres, a 19-year-old shortstop signed out of Venezuela. He is not going to get here anytime soon, but he's obviously very talented. So that's yet another guy that the Cubs fans can be on the lookout for to be up maybe within the next 2 years. I think that's a reasonable target date for him. The number two prospect right now currently in the Cubs organization, another guy out of Venezuela, who just really did an excellent job last year, kind of catapulted himself up a lot of prospect lists, and now it's thought of as being one of the premier catching prospects in baseball. That's Wilson Contreras, a guy that just really everything seemed to have clicked for him. Only got as high as Double A last year, but even so, if something were to happen to Miguel Montero, I would not be shocked to see the Cubs push Contreras based on how well he's played basically over the last calendar year and in the fall season. So he's an interesting guy. The third prospect in Cubs organization, Ian Happ, last year's first-round draft pick, the ninth pick overall in the 2015 draft. Yet another guy that a lot of people went high on as the Cubs were on him, but I'm starting to believe more so than anything else. When the Cubs take a college hitter, they've seen something that they believe in. They're starting to formulate a track record of maybe taking some guys that aren't other teams aren't as high on, and making something happen with them, and that may be what happened with Happ as well. So that is definitely a situation to monitor. The one thing that is kind of the overwhelming situation with the Cubs is they still have not been able, seemingly, develop a lot of elite pitching or even adequate pitching out of their minor league system. There have been a few guys that that have been in the mix, have been somewhat productive, but they just have not been able to really bring up guys for a long time that make an impact in the pitching department. The guy that was bandied about for quite some time as being a potential future impact pitcher for the Cubs, T.J. Edwards, or as sometimes they list him as Carl Edwards, has now been moved to the bullpen long term. And it'll be interesting to see if he materializes as being any kind of a real threat. He was kind of the guy that the Cubs pitching prospects based were hung their hats on. So it's going to be interesting to see moving forward if the Cubs are able to develop any of the other ones. The top pitching prospects right now in the Cubs organization are probably the following. Dwayne Underwood is highly thought of, but he is probably not going to be in the discussion for the majors until 2017. Pierce Johnson is another guy who has kind of been up and down, but he may be a contributor at some point. And down the line, you've got Oscar De La Cruz. But overall, the Cubs organization, as it has been for the last couple of years, is really, really heavy on offensive players. That seems to be an organizational philosophy that they're working with, is that we're just going to build up as many offensive chips as we can and let the cards fall where they may. So that's one of those things that you can see after a while that the Cubs are putting together maybe a little bit deviant plan than some of the other organizations in baseball have. And so far, it seems to be netting some results. To take a look at what they did last year, they finished with 97 victories. Shockingly, that was only enough to sneak them into a road appearance in the wild card game that they finished third in their home division behind the 100-win St. Louis Cardinals and the 98-win Pittsburgh Pirates, just one game out of that getting to host that playoff game. But they did beat the Pirates in that one-game showdown, and then they went and lost to the New York Mets in the next round after that. So that was just one of those situations where they were able to line that up and really get themselves in a good position to move on. So, you know, when you're looking at the team in general, I just messed that up. The Cubs did not lose to the Mets in the next round. They beat the St. Louis Cardinals, their fierce rivals, before moving on and losing to the Mets in the National League Championship Series. I apologize for that. Can they duplicate those 97 wins again next year? Yes, I do think that that's extremely possible that the Cubs can duplicate those 97 victories. And based on what the other teams have done, I would put them as the odds-on favorite to win the division. So looking at the Cubs moving forward, I think they are a heavy threat to win the National League Championship Series and get themselves in the World Series. They could still use a few tinkers here and there to make themselves a little bit better before the season starts. So that is a look at the Chicago Cubs in terms of the upcoming 2016 season. Check in later. We'll have some more updates on all of the other NL Central teams over the course of this week. Thanks for listening to the Inside Baseball podcast. We'll talk to you next time.